Well, nearly a week after those killings, law enforcement agents are not calling the killings a hate crime, as you heard, saying that the accused shooter told them his motives were not racial, but instead motivated by his attempt to eliminate temptation because of a sexual addiction. But legal analysts, historians, and activists argue that it's impossible to divorce race and gender from this violence, that for over a century, Asian women have been sexualized, stereotyped, and targeted. Among them are Sung Yong Choi Morrow, executive director of the National Asian Pacific American Women's Forum. And she joins us now. Thank you for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. You've said killing Asian American women to eliminate a man's temptation speaks to the history of the objectification of Asian and Asian American women. This is a major point on why you and others argue it's impossible to exclude race as a motive for these brutal killings. Say more.
Sure. You know, from beginning of history in the United States of when Asian American women came to this country, Asian American women have always been sexualized and objectified. 1875, the Page Act was passed by Congress, and it essentially says that it wants to ban East Asian women from entering the United States because we come here to be prostitutes. I mean, so from the get-go, we've always been seen as temptresses and sexual objects. And so the fact that those were the words used by the killer to describe Asian American women cannot be separated from these historical contexts from which we come from.
And you talk about the late 1800s. I mean, this continued to play out through World War II and the Korean War.
That's correct. And so you fast forward into World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. You know, I myself am actually an immigrant from Korea. When I was little, we saw the militarism and the military presence in Korea and the demand for sex workers and how that's really shaped how military service people from the United States view Asian women. And so when I came to this country, I've received very specifically racialized sexual harassment because of my Korean background.
Yes, over the last few days, we've heard these really disturbing stories from Asian women who are speaking out about these types of fantasies that men feel that they can just tell them or say to them. And as you mentioned, you've also experienced this as well. Can you share more about some of the things that happened to you and some of the conversations that men feel like they can have with you?
Yeah, I mean, quote unquote, polite ones, you know, like acquaintances feel the need to tell me how much they love Asian women, you know, or they use that as a pickup line to indicate that I'm the type that they like, right? So there's always this projecting of their preferences when it comes to who they want to have sexual relationships with that are thrown at Asian and Asian American women in this country. And in the more scarier forms are street harassment where, you know, I'm walking down the street and somebody will stop me and ask me if I'm Korean. And, you know, it sounds very innocent. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, I'm Korean. And they would say, oh, you know, I served at this military base. Do you know the city? Do you know the city? And talk about how they love Korea and Korean food. And but most of all, how they love Korean women and how I remind them of some girlfriend they had. And then we'll say something really sexually inappropriate. And that encounter has happened to me multiple times, not just once, but multiple times. And, you know, now it's not that it doesn't happen as often. It's that I've figured out how to avoid those conversations. You know, I just don't talk to people on the streets anymore. I just, you know, and then I get the, well, why don't you smile a little? You know, Asian girls look good when they smile, stuff like that, right? So it's always racialized. You know, women are publicly harassed all the time. But for Asian American women, it is really also racialized. It's not just because we're women.
I want to talk with you more about the victims. And you talk about these spas and or massage parlors. We know that some of them do have sex work going on. And we also know through extensive reporting that some of them house women who work unwillingly, who are trafficked or pimped. Others have chosen sex work for many reasons. But you say we don't care much about those women as a society because we just assume this is what Asian women do. So we don't regulate these workplaces or ensure these women's safety. Instead, we raid them and penalize them instead of trying to make conditions better.
That's right. It's about Asian women who may be trafficked or are choosing to do the work, who are not being protected because of the kind of work they do. And it also is about broadly women of color in sex work who are targets of sexual violence. And so I think it's really important to bring the whole narrative into the picture, because women of color have been killed and murdered in this country for a very long time as a crime of sexual violence, and very little attention is ever paid to that. And so I think, to your point, that, you know, they raid these places and then they criminalize them. We need to protect people's work, no matter what they do, as work, and provide rights and dignity, because at the end of the day, when they don't have protection, they're more vulnerable and susceptible to violence.
The last few years have been brutal for many Asian Americans. The former president used racial slurs to describe the coronavirus. There's also been a substantial increase in the number of reported acts of violence against Asian Americans. And as you laid out, it doesn't start or end there. What do you want to see moving forward?
I think this is just the start of the conversation. While I'm really relieved that finally we're having conversations that we've been wanting to have for a very long time, it's come at the cost of 8 lives, 6 of them being Asian American women. And I've had so many reporters and people tell me, like, I had no idea that's how you were being treated, and that's how Asian American women are treated in our society, you know? And so I'm glad that that curtain's been drawn back. But I think moving forward, we need to really think hard about, you know, wherever you are in your race, gender, age, class, what are you doing to make sure to uphold the dignity of Asian American women as human beings? Everything from simple things that we do in our American culture that really objectifies and exotifies Asian heritage and Asian American culture, how some people do makeup and make their eyes look like quote unquote Asian eyes, or Halloween costumes, for example. You know, we are not a Halloween costume. And I think those are different ways that we need to really start thinking about critically how we actively or passively play into creating this culture where Asian American women are objectified and not really treated with this human dignity. And that led to the tragic shooting that was intentionally targeted at those 6 women, not only because they were Asian American or only because they were women, but because they were Asian American women, you know? And so I see so many people going on talk shows and, you know, TV and radio, really just framing this in relationship to the coronavirus and the history of hate crimes against Asian Americans, and really erasing the fact that these were women and that's why they were targeted as well. I hope it we for once as a nation can walk and chew gum at the same time, where we can talk about race and gender. And so that is my hope as we move forward with more conversations and actions.
Sungyeong Choi Morrow is executive director of the National Asian Pacific Women's Forum. I really appreciate you, and I appreciate this conversation.
Thank you for having me.